Inshallah, a brief lesson of tafsir will take place. Let's participate, inshallah, and beneficial. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد إن شاء الله we'll continue from where we stopped last week the ayah of Surah Al-Kahf where we stopped inshallah so I'll just recite a few ayat and we'll go through the translation and then inshallah we'll try and go through the meanings of them inshallah أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا وقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر إنا أعتدنا للظالمين نارا أحاط بهم سرادقها وإن يستغيثوا يغاثوا بماء كالمهل يشوي الوجوه بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقا إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس وإستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, so this is verse 28 of Surah Al-Kahf. Last week we completed the discussion of the Ashab Al-Kahf, and now moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning something else to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Isbir nafsak, be patient, stay patiently, ma'alladina yadu'una rabbahum bilghadati wal'ashi, with those people who call their Rabb, who make dua to their Rabb, who worship their Lord by morning and by night. Yuriduna wajha, and they do this worship, this ibadah, sincerely for His sake, sincerely for the sake of Allah. Be patient with these people. Stay with these people. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ And do not turn your eyes away from these people. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا Why would you turn your eyes away from them? Seeking the luxuries, the pleasures of the life of this dunya. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا And do not obey those people whose hearts we have kept negligent from our dhikr. Negligent from our remembrance. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ And they follow their desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا And their matters are all extreme. Their matters have no balance, no moderation. They are very extreme in their affairs. So what happened? There's different tafaseer which are mentioned, explanations. Now the Prophet ﷺ, most of the time, the company that he would keep, the people that would surround him, were the poor people, the weak Muslims. And this is a quality, a distinguishing quality of all the Anbiya alayhi salam, all the Prophets, that the first people who would follow them, who would listen to them, who would be the first to obey them and follow them, would always be the poor and weak people. The people who don't have a very high standing in society. Because these people are desperate for answers. You know, when a person has a lot of money, many times the wealth blinds them so much that they think, that's it, I don't need anything else. I'm not searching for anything else, I'm not looking for anything else, I'm rich. Anything I need, I'll buy it, I'll do it, I'll pay someone to do this, I'll pay someone to... So they feel like they don't have that many problems because they got so much money. Or they got high power authority. So their worldview is, I don't want to lose my money. Another person's worldview is, I don't want to lose my authority. That's what they're focused with. A person who has none of that, who's got nothing to lose, their minds are clear. They're searching for truth, they're searching for higher purpose. They're searching for answers, they're searching for meaning. Many times these are the people who are oppressed. And they're searching for justice. They're searching for justice. And the people who are at the top, they don't need to search for justice. They control, or you know, everything sways in their balance. Yeah? Like, you know, oh, it's America, the president of America, BBC said something, he said, if you take me to court, I'll issue a $10 billion lawsuit against BBC. You know, I've got so much money, I've got nothing to lose. You want to mess with me, I'll just throw $10 billion. He's ready to take them to court with $10 billion. So they feel that the money makes them untouchable. Whereas the poor and weak in society, they always feel, you know, they're always searching for answers. They feel oppressed, they feel downtrodden. So when something comes along which gives them purpose, which gives them meaning, which is beyond money and beyond power, which they know they will never have that level of money. They know that they will never have that level of power. This is beyond all of that. This is a higher purpose. Then subhanAllah, they're always the first to accept. That's why all of the Anbiya alayhi salam that were sent, their first followers were always the weak, the downtrodden, the oppressed. Those people whose rights were usurped and taken away from them. That's why when Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, the famous hadith of Hiraqal, when he went to Byzantine, or he went to Syria, and he met Hiraqal, Heraclius, the Byzantine emperor. And the emperor asked him a few questions. One of them was, this person who is claiming to be a prophet of Allah, who are his main followers? So Abu Sufyan said, his followers are the weak and the low people from our society. He thought that was a good thing. He thought that was a good thing. He scored some points. Oh, it's only the people that we don't care about. They're the ones that follow him. What did Hiraqal say? He said, that has been the case with all of the prophets of the past. Because Hiraqal was a scholar. He had studied all the different scriptures, etc. So he knew that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a prophet, a messenger, their followers are always the weaker people. Very rarely do the powerful and rich flock towards this. Powerful and rich don't want to lose anything. They don't want to lose their money, their status. They don't want to change their life because they feel if we do that, we're gonna, everything's gonna be lost from us. And the weak have nothing to lose. The poor have nothing to lose. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's main circle would be these weak and poor people. Many people who have a very low caste in society, the slaves, the ex-slaves, the people who, in terms of caste in Arabic, is called kuf. In terms of kuf, they were at the bottom. Like for example, Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu. His father Sayyidina Yasir, his mother Sayyidina Sumayya. They're from the lowest caste, kuf of society. And this is something we have as well in Indo-Pak culture, this person from a low caste. But subhanAllah, in the sight of Allah, low caste, zat ke itibar se bilkul, you know, lowest, it means nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Means absolutely nothing. In the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Allah ta'ala does not look at إن الله لا ينظر إلى صوركم ولا إلى أموالكم. Allah doesn't care about what you look like. Allah doesn't care about how much money you have. Allah looks at your hearts and your a'mal. That's it.
Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most noble in the sight of Allah. Noble, akram, kareem, kareem. Unche zaat wale. Someone who's from very high zaat, very high background. Inna akramakum. Allah Ta'ala did not say, Inna akrabakum indallahi atqakum. The one who is most close to Allah is the one who fears Allah most. Allah said, the most noble in the sight of Allah. We look at nobility level based on family background, based on wealth, based on power. Allah Ta'ala says, in Allah's, my eyes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobility is based on taqwa. Taqwa. In India, there was a great scholar, Marna has had his name. His name was Mufti Kifayatullah Sahib. He's known as the Grand Mufti of India. He wrote one of the main fatwa books, it's called Kifayatul Mufti. And everyone knows he was the Grand Mufti, one of the main scholars of India. They say about him, he was from the lowest caste that you could get in Indian society. He's from Shah Jahanpur, the lowest caste. The family were Babas and the Nai, Hajjam, these people of the lowest caste. It's just something, you know, in society. People who are from a Babas, or in the family, the profession of Babas, it's from low caste. And someone whose family were landowners, they're high caste. You know, these type of things we have in society. From the lowest caste, but he was the Grand Mufti of India in his time. Very good. So what does caste do? Nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to use someone for the sake of deen. Allah wants to select someone. All of these things mean nothing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the highest level of nobility and highest caste and highest everything, yet the people that would surround the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were from a low caste. I've seen this, you know, this thing is becoming so normal. Those people who Allah has blessed with wealth, money, they look down on people who don't have money. They say, this is, you know, your caste is low. People say this. People who are very wealthy, and we've seen this. People who are very wealthy feel automatically, because I've got a lot of money and I can afford, I live in a house like this, drive a car like this, and I can afford this and that. People who can't do it, similarly well-educated people. Someone who's got his degree and master's and PhD and he's got this and that. He looks down on someone who's just an ordinary person, taxi driver. Yes, you know, this guy. What is this guy? I'm so high and mighty because I've got this and that. It's a thing which is disgusting, but it's a natural thing which is inside of the human heart. Islam, you know, totally eradicated all of this. The most beloved people to Allah Ta'ala were always the downtrodden ones. Always the low ones. Always the poor ones. Always the ones who had nothing. These were the most closest to Allah Ta'ala. We see this in the message of the Quran. We see this in the message of the Hadith. Everywhere. To the extent that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you want to put him with the rich or with the poor, he will be with the poor. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. With the poor. Allahumma ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina wa ahshurni fi zumratil masakin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do dua. Oh Allah, give me life as a poor person, death as a poor person. On the day of Qiyamah, ya Allah, resurrect me, do my hashar with the poor people. I want to be in the circle of the gharib miskin. Aur hum log gharib miskin ko dhakka dete hain. Ye kya badbu aa rahi hai, pata nahi kya. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki dua kya thi? On the day of judgment, ya Allah, mujhe meri hashar gharib miskin ke saath ho. So changing the perception and mindset that these people are more dear to Allah, doesn't matter what you have and what you don't have. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have a circle of people that would stay next to him. Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir radiyallahu anhu, low caste of society. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Masud radiyallahu anhu, very low caste of society. Abdullah bin Masud radiyallahu anhu, who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Hibru hadihil ummah. The great alim of my ummah is who? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He was from the lowest caste in society. When Abu Jahl was dying, Abu Jahl, the two brothers, they had struck Abu Jahl, he was on the floor. The person who came and chopped off his head, his name was Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And when Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu went there with the sword, Abu Jahl looked at him. And he still had that arrogance in him. That, oh, I wish I wasn't dying at the hands of a shepherd. I wish my death was at the hands of a chief. You're going to be killing me. Ugh. The haughtiness, the arrogance didn't leave him even then. How could someone like you be chopping my head off? Abdullah still chopped his head off and took it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so happy. He said, today the Fir'aun of my ummah has died. The Fir'aun of my ummah. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu was in the close circle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Suhaib, Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu. Many of these people who these people used to hate. And they didn't come into the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And once they made an excuse, as these are a few narrations we find, that they said, O Muhammad, Tell these people to go away. لا يجترئون علينا. اگر ہم لوگ آکے ان کے ساتھ بیٹھ جائیں گے تو یہ لوگ ہم پر جرت پا جائیں گے, سوچیں گے کہ ہم اور وہ یکساں ہیں. The rich people started to say, oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, push, tell these people to get lost. We need to come at a time when they're not there, otherwise they're going to become very audacious. They're going to think we're just like them, we're sitting just with them. So even their request was filled with arrogance. How can we sit with these people? Otherwise they're going to say, think we're the same as them if we sit next to them. We can never be caught alive sitting next to them or sitting in the same gathering as them. It has to be at a different time. This is one opinion. Similarly, other opinions are mentioned as to when and why it happened. This similar ayah has appeared in Surah Al-An'am as well. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu, he's the narrator. He says that these people said this. You know, push these people away, tell these poor people to leave your gathering. We don't want them to become very audacious and think that we are just like them. So Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu, he said, فَوَقَعَ فِي قَلْبِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَقَعَ. Some thoughts went through the mind of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. What thoughts? He didn't mention. What were the thoughts? Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم had the greatest love for all of these sahaba, the poor ones, the weak ones. Yet, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم thought, maybe these rich people won't come here because of them, so maybe it might be a good idea if we had different times. Just thought, nothing. He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He just thought. Automatically, Allah Ta'ala, very stern. These words are very stern. Showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highlighting to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that don't even let your eyes go towards these people. وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not push away those people who worship their Rabb morning and evening only for His sake sincerely. Here Allah Ta'ala, وَصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ. Make yourself sit with these people. Make yourself? Why? Why is sabr? Sabr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the highest level of akhlaq. Why is Allah Ta'ala saying, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, force yourself to sit with these people? Because these people are very different. Some of them were very unpar. Sometimes what happens is, just education gives you a certain level of morals, certain standard of speaking to people, interacting with people. And someone who's totally uneducated from the village, from the dehat, has a very poor way of interaction. And these were all the people that were sitting around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very bad interaction, no good character, no manners, no akhlaq, nothing. So it's very hard to interact with these people. Their speech, their everything. And we see subhanAllah in the hadith how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with these people so beautifully. If it was one of us, say, bayah, stop talking. This is not the time. You know, we're disciplining them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much piyar muhabbat. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make yourself sit with these people patiently. Which type of people? Who do ibadat of their Lord, who worship their Rabb morning and evening. This is the quality Allah Ta'ala has mentioned of them. Doesn't matter who they are. They could be the lowest of society, but what is their special quality that they have inside of them? That they worship Allah Ta'ala all the time. Ulama say, Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi and others say, morning and evening is just a term, but it means all the time. They are constantly in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly in dua, constantly in ibadah. This is why they are beloved to Allah. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make yourself sit with these people. And they do their ibadah sincerely for Allah's sake. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Don't turn your eyes away from them, even for a minute. They need to always be with you. And then what does Allah Ta'ala say? تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Are you seeking the beautiful adornment of the life of this dunya? The pleasures of the life of this dunya? And the ulama have explained that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Allah Ta'ala is instructing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to even think about the fact that sometimes, you know, person thinks. If a wealthy person, a rich person, a person of shuhrah, fame, power, position comes into my gathering, it'll boost Islam. It will boost Islam. Because of his wealth, you know, the poor Muslims can be fed. Because of his power, his strength, other people will be influenced. Nobody's going to mess with the Muslims. Your mind goes a different direction. Your mind goes a different direction. And you're doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And you're thinking that this person is very strong. It'll be good if he comes. It'll be good if I can get him make him understand the message of Islam. Then Islam will get that strength. Allah Ta'ala is saying, don't even let your mind go there. Just focus on the people who have come to you. Don't even think, oh, this person. Mawlana Abdul Majid al-Yabadi rahmatullahi, he mentions here, this is a message till the day of Qiyamah. And he says, this is an illness that we see in our religious groups in our time, in India, he's saying, that there is so much effort and so much focus spent on wealthy people, noble people, high-ranking people, that only if that person joins the ranks, only if that person comes on board, then he will boost our message. It will be a huge asset to us. Allah Ta'ala is saying, don't even do that at all. Don't even turn your gaze towards them. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Is this what you're desiring? The beauty, the glitter, the life of this dunya? And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ. And don't obey those people. Don't follow those people. Ignore these people. وَأَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. We have kept their hearts غافل, negligent of our dhikr. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. And they follow their desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And their matters are all extreme. One day they will say this, one day they will... Look, it's extreme. Coming to the Prophet ﷺ, and say, oh Muhammad ﷺ, if you tell these people to leave your majlis, we're going to sit with you and they will become Muslim, you won't need them anymore. You're just, you know, jumping from extreme to extreme. Allah Ta'ala says their affairs are all extreme. They're not balanced, they're not moderate. Don't, you know, change the way you are on the basis of this. So after these ayat were mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ was already his gathering and his close sahaba were all the poor people. He increased this even more to the extent that the Prophet ﷺ, if he did not see any sahaba from weak background, poor background around him, he would go say to his sahaba, "Ubghuni du'afa, go and find me the weak sahaba. Go and find me them and bring them to my gathering. فَإِنَّمَا تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنصَرُونَ فَهَلْ تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنصَرُونَ إِلَّا بِدُعَفَائِكُمْ. Allah's madad, Allah Ta'ala's help, and Allah's rizq comes upon you because of the weak people amongst you. So go and find them and bring them here. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would ensure that he was always surrounded by these people. Who nowadays people would say, oh, this guy, not educated, very poor, smelly, like this, like that. So Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. And say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. The truth is from your Rabb. The Qur'an is from your Rabb. الْحَقُّ. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. Whoever wishes, let him bring iman. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And whoever wishes, let him disbelieve. So it's like a warning. You know, if you know something is good and bad, you know, it's like saying, go and jump off the cliff then. You don't want them to jump off the cliff. You say, you're frustrated, in frustration, in anger. You say, jump off the cliff then. You're not going to listen to what I'm saying. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. Whoever wants, they can bring iman. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever wants, they can disbelieve. The choice is yours. There's no pressure. لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not force anyone to become Muslim or non-Muslim. Similarly, as Muslims, we cannot force anyone to become Muslim. This is a choice that a person has to make. إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا. And then Allah Ta'ala says, what will happen if you disbelieve in Allah and die upon kufr? We have surely prepared for the ظالمين, the oppressors, the people who have wronged themselves with sins, naran, such a fire, ahata bihim suradiquha, the walls of which will surround them. Jahannam is a fire. Allah Ta'ala says the walls of it will surround them. The Mufassirun say Jahannam is fire which is 70 times more hot than the fire of this dunya. The walls are also made of fire. The roof is also made of fire. There is no escape. Everywhere a person looks, they are enclosed in flames, in fire. So, أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. The suradiq, the walls, the boundaries of the fire of Jahannam will kind of cave, enclose upon them. وَإِن يَسْتَغِيثُوا. And even if they ask for help, help me, help me, I'm thirsty, I need some food, I need some water. يُغَاثُوا. They will be helped with بِمَاءٍ, with water. كَالْمُهْلِ, which will be like muhl. If they ask for water, out of thirst, extreme thirst, we want water, they'll be given water like muhal. What's muhal? The ulama say tilchat. You know, when you have a boiling pan, samosas, pakoras, they're frying in the pan, you know, at the bottom of the pan, the oil, you know, you get this black, grainy stuff. Tilchat is ko kehte urdu mein. That is muhal, one opinion. Another opinion is that muhal is molten copper. Copper, when you burn it, and it becomes molten, so runny copper, boiling hot, they will be given this to drink. And it will be such water, yashwil wujuh, when they will go to drink it, it will burn their whole faces, not just the mouth where they drink from, their whole faces will become disfigured, trying to, in another ayah Allah says, yatajarra'uhu wala yakadu yusighuhu, yatajarra, gaunt, slowly they will try and drink it, because they're dying of thirst. But this is the only thing they've got to drink, but they can't drink it. It's undrinkable, but they will take small slips. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ تُرَى تُرَى كَرْكَ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيقُهُ. However, they will not be able to swallow it. It will be so disgusting. So this is what they will be given. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, you know, other foods. بِئْسَ الشَّرَابِ. How terrible a drink this will be. وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ. How terrible a resting place fire of Jahannam will be. These things are mentioned in the Quran. مَا إِنْكَ الْمُهْلِ. And the food of the people of Jahannam. غِسْلِين. And وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ. In Surah Al-Ghashiyah. وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ. Is that the ayah? وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ. ضَرِيعٍ is a sharp, thorny branch. This which will be given them to eat. And another ayah Allah Ta'ala says, different names which have been mentioned for the food that the people of Jahannam will eat. But all of them, generally, the ulama say it is the sharp, thorny fruit or branch that will be given that is, you know, inedible. You can't eat it. And similarly, whatever will be given to the drink, other places mentions the pus, burning pus, that will come out. It'll be a glass of that will be given. So there's nothing of comfort there. So here Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن يَسْتَغِيثُوا. If they cry out for help, يُغَاثُوا. They will be helped. What will be their help? مَا إِن كَالْمُهُلْ. Water which is like molten copper, or water which is like boiling hot oil, or the remnants of boiling hot oil. يَشْوِ الْوُجُوهُ. Which will totally scald their faces, burn their faces. بِئْسَ الشَّرَابِ. How terrible a drink. وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ. How terrible a resting place. We'll just quickly do these last ayat. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Indeed those people who bring iman. Now this is the tartib of the Quran, the order of the Quran. The warning is always given first. The inzar, warning is always first. Tabshir is second. And then glad tidings are second. So the warning was given first. You bring iman. So the fear comes in. And then straight after that Allah Ta'ala says, look, don't worry. If you bring iman, number one, and bringing iman is not enough. I'm a Muslim. Muslim by name. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those people who bring iman and then they also perform good deeds. إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ. We will not waste أَجْرَ. The reward of مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Of someone who does good deeds. Unke amal zai nahi hogi. A person who brings iman and then he performs good a'mal, every single small amal he does will be recorded. Nothing will be wasted. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whoever sees, does an atom's weight of good, he'll see it with his eyes. Oh, that was that good deed, that subhanAllah I said. That litter I picked up from the masjid, he'll see it. So Allah Ta'ala said, we will not waste their reward. Meaning, those who do not bring iman, number one, and do not perform righteous deeds, or maybe they perform good deeds but they don't bring iman, all of their good actions will go to waste. He's a disbeliever, he doesn't believe in Allah. Now he's helping people, he's giving charity, he's doing this, he's doing that. SubhanAllah, you get very good-hearted people who are non-Muslim. Bichara, all of those good deeds are going to waste. On the day of Qiyamah, they'll have nothing. Haba and Manthura. Allah Ta'ala says, like scattered dust. You'll have no reality to it because there's no iman. This is the condition. Ulaika lahum jannatu adnin. For these people, for the believers, for the Muslims, for them will be gardens, beautiful gardens. Jannatu adnin. Gardens of eternity. They'll remain in those forever and ever. Tajri min tahtihimul anhar. Beautiful rivers will flow underneath them. In the Quran, Allah mentions, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّذِي وَعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن خَمْرٍ لَّذَّةٍ لِّلشَّارِبِينَ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن عَسَلٍ مُّصَفًّى. Four rivers Allah talks about, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll have أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسٍ. Rivers of water which never go bad, never go off. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ. Rivers of milk, similarly, the taste of which never changes, always fresh and flowing. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Rivers of wine, which will be so delicious and so good for you. It won't give you headaches, it won't make you drunk. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى. Rivers of beautiful, you know, tasting honey. يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا. They will be made to wear inside of these gardens, inside of these jannat. مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ. Kangan, bracelets, bangles of gold. In other ayat Allah Ta'ala mentions, min fidda, asawira min fidda. So we see bangles of gold, bangles of silver. Similarly, other places, bangles of pearls and diamonds. So it's not that hasad, this is not limited to bangles of gold, it's variety. They'll have bangles of gold, silver. All these things are haram for men in this dunya. In this dunya, it's haram for men to wear gold, to wear silver, to wear any form of jewelry. But in Jannah they'll be wearing it. Ants, as whatever they want. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي الْأَنفُسِ. Whatever you desire, وَتَلَذُ الْأَعْيُنِ, whatever makes you happy, you'll get that. وَيَلْبَسُونَ ثِيَابًا خُضْرًا مِّن سُنْدُسٍ. And they will be wearing clothes, green clothes, مِّن سُنْدُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ. Sundus is light silk, thin silk, thin silk. And istabraq is thick silk. So different types of silk. Green clothes of different types of silk. The ulama say, again, it's not limited to that. You can wear whatever you want. Whatever you desire, you will get it. Even the fruits and everything that you desire, subhanAllah, fruits which are out of season. قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةً كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةً branches. You just, I want to have this fruit, I'm craving this fruit. You know, like Bengalis, we have something called jackfruit. Katal, katal, it says in Bengali, right? You only have a season for it, and it comes from Bangladesh, you don't have it all the time. Sometimes it's, I have some jackfruit. But it's not here. Mango is another one. You got the season for mangoes, so you're not going to get it. I'm craving mangoes. You can't get it. You can't get it. It's not the season. Whatever fruit you crave in Jannah, automatically there'll be a tree of it there. قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةً. And the branches will be right in front of your face. Just take it and eat. Anything you want. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. So Allah says, beautiful clothes they will wear, green clothes of thin silk and thick silk. And the ulama say, this is just not limited to that. But it shows that green clothes, something special in there. That's what Allah Ta'ala is mentioning. ثِيَابًا and خُضْرَى, green clothes. And we see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would wear green clothes. Many of our mashayikh and elders would wear green. Jee? متكئين فيها على الأرائك, and they will be reclining inside of those gardens. على الأرائك, upon couches. Upon couches. أرائك is a plural of أريكة, which means couch. Cushions, sofas, now we can imagine, you know, there was a time in the time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam probably small pillows and this and that. Now subhanAllah you have all types of reclining sofas and mashallah legs stick out and this and that. So in Jannah you'll get the best of all of that. نعم الثواب, how amazing a reward. وحسنت مرتفقا, and how amazing, how beautiful a resting place. This is the place that every single person should aspire, that this should be my ending. Either way, one of them is going to be a مرتفق. Allah Ta'ala uses this word twice. مرتفقا, a place of aram, aramgah, place of rest. For the people of Jahannam, that's their place of rest forever and ever. That's where they're going to stay forever and ever. And for the people of Jannah, that's their place of rest. And in Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala says, Sa'at murtafaqa. Who wants to? We go to a hotel, one-star hotel. Yeah? You get one-star hotel. One-star hotel, the windows doesn't close, and there's cockroaches, and there's this and that. First, oh, I have to spend a whole night here. Many people say, forget it, I'm not going to spend a night here. I'll pay more money to upgrade to another hotel. Because it's my place of rest. I need to just relax here. I don't want it to, you know, I can't sleep. Somehow I'll sleep. But I don't want to sleep like this. I want to sleep nicely, comfortably. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, look, you're going to end up resting forever and ever. You have the choice if you want to go Jannah, amazing resting place forever and ever, or Jahannam, the worst resting place you can go to, but you're going to have to go there. Like the person who doesn't have the money to upgrade from one star hotel. He's got his windows open, breezes coming in, cockroaches, spiders climbing up the walls, the little lizards climbing up the walls. He has to deal with it. He's got no money. He's going to end up staying there. Similarly, the people of Jahannam are going to have to end up staying there. But Allah Ta'ala says, in dunya, you have choice. You can choose how you want your resting place to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all correct understanding. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.